All righty, here we go. I believe it's working now. Kev, you there?
I am here.
Awesome, man. It's so good to have you here, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, man, it's so exciting. My first ever podcast, and I get the honor of joining the Charks, whatever that is. And so I've always wondered, what is the Charks? Can you tell me what the Charks is?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was created back in 2000. Oof, I don't even know.
Don't strain your brain.
Yeah, it's a mixture of my first name and my last name. It was Roxy's. I actually talked about this in a previous podcast. It was Roxy's cousin who created the name for my YouTube channel.
Okay.
So hopefully that answers your question. I just decided to carry the name on through the podcast.
That sounds great.
You know
what an honor this is for me to be on Timothy Chad Barker's podcast. Man, life does not get much better than that, let me tell you.
Hey, that's true. At least you see it. Some people don't see it.
I know. I mean, we're working on those guys.
Right. Well, it's funny.
I was thinking how you and I have come together and how, you know, we have made such a good team. And I was thinking, you know, we're kind of like two things that shouldn't go together, but do, you know, like cheddar and caramel, you know?
Nice.
You're definitely the caramel. You're the sweet one.
I was going to say, can I be the caramel?
You have to be, because, you know, you're so sweet. I'm like that real sharp cheddar, you know, just cuts through things. But somehow we just work together, and it's always been that way. So I appreciate you, brother, and it's an honor to join your podcast.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. And earlier when I tried to get you on and couldn't, I ended up doing a special 1 minute podcast segment introducing you, telling the folks to come back and listen, so they kind of already know. But I will say this before I turn it over to you: we're doing a part two of The Way Out that we did a few weeks ago, or a couple days ago actually. The original was a couple weeks ago and it didn't go through, so I believe the segment started a bunch of questions in our text group, which the guys already know about. People listening should know about Iron Men. Kevin Trent is the leader of that group, and I've asked him to come and speak on a part two of The Way Out, because you brought up some really good stuff, Kevin, in that text group that I thought would be beneficial to the listeners and maybe this podcast. So it's all yours, my friend, and if you have any questions, feel free to ask, and I will turn it over to you, sir.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I just want to say about Iron Man, it's one of those things where when you talk about it to other guys, it's everything that just makes their eyes glaze over when you talk about it. And mm-hmm. then when they experience it, I mean, it is everything that they've needed in their life, right? So
yeah,
when we talk
absolutely.
About, you know, we come together and we talk about God and we talk about our relationships and we talk about being accountable and all of those things, I think when you introduce that to a person and you're telling them about it, it's everything that they fear.
Right. Yeah.
And everything that they need, right? So
sure.
It's one of those things where you just really have to experience it to know that it's what's been missing in your life. And I think that when you start talking about it, I was so glad that you went to Psalm 101. So I went back to it today. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at it, and there's something that is so amazing about Psalm 101 that just jumped out to me. So I'm going to read it to you, all right? And I want you to just hear as I read it. I'm going to read from the NIV, so I want you to listen to this. It says, "I will sing of your love and justice to you, Lord. I will sing praise. I will be careful to lead a when you come to me." Excuse you. "I will conduct the affairs of my house with a blameless heart. I will look I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. That's the verse that you were talking about. I hate what faithless people do. I will have no part in it. The perverse of heart shall be far from me. I will have nothing to do with what is evil. Whoever slanders their neighbor in secret, I will put to silence. Whoever has a haughty eyes and a proud heart, I will not tolerate. My eyes will be on the faithful in the land, that they may dwell with me. The one whose walk is blameless will minister to me. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. No one who speaks falsely will stand in my presence. Every morning, I will put to silence all the wicked in the land. I will cut off every evildoer from the city of the Lord. Now, I am convinced that this is written at a time where David has already become king, and he's talking about how he is going to lead his life, his household, and his kingdom, right? And wow, I mean, it just sounds so great. I'm gonna lead this blameless life. I'm going to try to do all these great things. I'm not gonna let anything come in the way. I'm not gonna put up with anybody who stands in my way. I'm not gonna put up with anybody who, you know, dishonors the name of God. And yet, what do you hear that's missing in that, or what do you hear over and over in that that maybe is a red flag? Did you hear it?
I believe so.
Well,
the pronoun I.
Exactly. Right. Listen to David. I'm going to do all of these great things, right? And I think this is at a time where things start really turning for David, and I think this is something that we can learn as men, and this is something that I talk about all the time.
Sure. And that
our relationship with God is not an I. It's not, right? It's not what I do. It's what we do. You know, there's only one mention of God in this. And that is in verse 2, where he says, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. And then he says, when will you come to me? It's not even, he asked God, when will you come to me? And I think God is just saying, well, maybe when you start realizing that it's not you doing these things, it's what I'm doing. You understand?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that with all of these promises, I think that this is the way that we go. We want to change our life. And so, you know, we were talking about what happens when something comes into our line of vision, a temptation comes our way, a trigger hits us. What happens? Well, the thing about it is, David said, I'm not going to put up with this. I'm going to lead a blameless life. Well, that was not anything that he could live up to. He really, at this point, started thinking about what I'm going to do, and that was the start of his downfall, right? He set a standard for himself that he was not able to attain for himself. And so I think that that is kind of a warning for us to say, this is not something that I can accomplish by myself. So when we start talking about, you know, how do we start to overcome these temptations? How do we start to deal with these triggers? The first part that I thought that you hit really well in your last podcast were some of the defensive things, the boundaries that we set, the things that we do to avert our eyes and putting up the right kind of boundaries in our relationships and things like that. And those are all very good things. Those are defensive things. But it has to be a proactive approach too.
Because
we can't just be defending against Satan. We actually have to go and attack Satan. And so I like the NIV version of the verse that you guys read rather than the one that you wrote from read from King James. Because in NIV it says, I will not look with approval on anything that is vile. In other words, it's not that I won't set those things before me. You know, it's like when I see them, I won't look at them with approval. I won't give them my blessing. I won't. So that is that's a defensive side of it. But sure. it's also recognizing that things are going to come up and that we have a choice with how that we're going to handle them. And
right.
So my whole thing is that we really need to prepare in advance for those situations that come.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that by strengthening our relationship with God and strengthening mm-hmm. our relationship, healthy relationships with others, especially for men, with men,
right,
godly men. You know, David, at this point, right before he had his thing with Bathsheba, he was isolating himself. He was mm-hmm. not out with his mighty men where he was supposed to be. He was back at the palace.
Right.
And that isolation and that restlessness led to a vulnerable moment where
mm-hmm.
Satan was able to really attack him. And so he said right here, I will not look with approval on things that are vile. And yet what did he do? He did that exact thing.
right.
And the reason why is because he was not where he had been in his relationship with God. He had let
right.
that relationship with God and doing the things that God had done, he had let those things slide in his life. And he had started taking on this I approach. I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring the Ark of the Lord to Jerusalem. I'm going to build the temple. I'm going to, you know, praise God. I'm going to, you know, everything.
Right.
I started turning to I. And he lost track of who it is that gave him that power to do it. And even though he's described as a man after God's own heart, and he still loves God, and he still tried to do his best, even the strongest of us can lose it when we start losing the sight of how God starts or makes these things happen in our life. And so mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out that we really need to engage the Spirit. We need to start moving proactively towards God and allowing Him to do it. And that recognizing that the only way that we do that in this world is through our relationships with others. And so it really mm-hmm. does take that intimate bond with men who can strengthen us and who can keep us from isolating, who can hold us accountable, who love us mm-hmm. and can tell us when we're going wrong and, you know, help us to understand God a little bit better, who can
mm-hmm.
Encourage us to seek, you know, God with all of our heart. And so that's where my thoughts went with that, and that's what I wanted to share with the guys today.
Yeah, Kevin, thank you so much, my brother. That was well said. I couldn't have said it any better. And I keep going back to what you said. It's we, not me. And man, I don't think I've done as well with my recovery and sobriety as I am now compared to the past, and it all goes to you guys and you. And like I every time I struggle or have issues, I call you guys, I check in, I let you know what's going on in my mind. I don't just let it sit there. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I can't do this on my own. I've tried it, I've failed miserably many times, lost my sobriety. And you know, it's wonderful to have that accountability, not only every Monday, but daily, you know, and get, like you said, guys calling you out when you're wrong or you're making dumb decisions. And it's just a wonderful thing. And I'm so glad we were able to have you on today and speak into that some more from a godly perspective. And Kevin, I love you, my brother. I appreciate you. We'll definitely have you on again in the future.
Well, just if you want more of that, of course, our Monday nights are exactly what that's about. And so I just want to encourage everybody to come to Ironman on Monday nights at Argyle Church of Christ, 7 o'clock, and to be a part of what can really change your life. Iron sharpening iron. You know,
Amen.
I just want to say one more thing, and that
absolutely.
Is for those who struggle with pornography or sexual sin, the underlying issue is it really is an intimacy disorder. In other words, it really comes down to we just do not have the close relationships, close healthy relationships that we need. So the only way out of that is relationships. There's no way out of sexual sin without healthy relationships. You cannot
Mm-hmm.
on your own, because that is the very problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
That it is
That's true.
Intimacy disorder. And so there's no way of working out of it alone. Their only solution is to have healthy relationships with men who help you be more godly. That's the only way out. And so that's what Ironman is designed to do. It's designed to build those intimate relationships, to help heal what is missing in guys' hearts. And I just want to encourage again everybody to come on Monday nights.
I second that. And if you need more information, please feel free to leave me a message on here. I've even left my phone number on these podcasts and on the Ironman Facebook page. Feel free to go there, check it out. There's a picture of all of us on our profile. And in the meeting, I know there's several Ironman pages, so you have to search for the right one. But again, it's the one at Argyle Church of Christ. Kevin, again, thank you so much, my brother, for joining us today.
Love it, brother. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. And guys, stay tuned for the next podcast. Good morning, everyone. Or should I say good afternoon, depending on when you're listening. I'm not sure. Hope everyone's doing well. I've missed you guys. I've missed speaking. I've missed, you know, hearing from those who listen to these. Just been thinking a lot about one particular word. And before I let you know what we're talking about today, I just want you to know what's going on in my own personal life. Started a new job. I think I told you in one of my earlier podcasts that I was starting a new career at Utz, and it's going well. Definitely cannot complain. Although I'm sure I could if I find something. I'm trying not to, you know what I mean? It has great potential, and really just trying to dig my feet in and learn all I can. Still in training, and I think I got one more week. Should be on my own. So if y'all think about it, just pray for me, because I definitely need it, and covet each prayer. We had a wonderful meeting last night in Ironman. For those of you who weren't there, you missed a really good session on Being a Godly Man by Joby Martin. I highly recommend him if you have never heard him before. He is the pastor of 1122 and here in Jacksonville, Florida. Just really, really good. Really, really good. And I've been biking each week with some of the fellows, just trying to stay faithful in my exercising and going to the gym at least once a week, sometimes twice, with a couple other guys. Just trying to eat right, do right, live right. It's hard, but it's motivating to have friends alongside me that are doing the right thing as well, so it makes it a lot easier. And today, I want to talk to you about the word pride. I've been thinking a lot about this. Didn't want to do it for a while because I struggle with it sometimes. You know, I think we all do to a certain degree. And, you know, as I scroll through some of my other podcasts, I get ideas of what to do, and y'all give me ideas. So today I just wanted to talk about this word, and many people have formulated their own opinion of pride. Here's one definition. It's a higher or inordinate opinion of one's own dignity, importance, merit, or superiority, whether as cherished in the mind or in as displayed in conduct. You know, I think of men when I think of pride, and I think us men struggle with it probably more than women. It's definitely universal. We all deal with it to some degree, and the Bible talks about it a lot, actually. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, this morning. So if you have your Bibles or your phone, go ahead and open them up to Philippians 4. This is where we'll start, verse 6. We'll probably just read the first half, just due to the sake of time. But listen to these words as you turn there and just focus on them, and ask God to open your mind and your heart today. And hopefully you'll get a blessing from it. And hopefully today will be the day that we won't sense as much of pride as we normally do. So verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." I believe here Paul is describing self-centered anxieties and counterproductive worries. It's unconcerned with the spread of the gospel. The pride filters down into the core of worry and anxiety, exposing a lack of trust in God, right? It is an over-concern with ourselves. I believe pride at its root is centered on what we want, what we desire. You know, and it's definitely selfish, right? I've met a few people over my life who cannot admit when they're wrong. Even when they are wrong and it is just obvious, they still cannot admit that they're wrong. I've been there, I've done that. Especially with my wife, right? Who hasn't? When you do something or say something that's wrong, you know, you dig your heels in. You know, I am not admitting to that. You know, I am not wrong in what I did. And then it just eats at you. You know, here's the thing I think a lot of us forget is pride only hurts ourselves. Now, it does leak into other people's lives, and it can affect others, but I believe it really just hurts ourselves. I believe it's also a disposition to exalt self, to get above others, to hide our defects in the past for more than we are, right? I know I have a lot of defects. I believe we all do. Heck, that might even be my next podcast. Just the defects of my life. You know, insecurities, jealousy, lust. And I try to hide that with pride. Have you ever been talking to someone before and you kind of twist the truth a little bit? Or what do they call that? A white lie? You know? Have you ever said how much you get paid and it's not true? Or this is how much I make a year and it's not true? You know? Or guess what I did today at work or at church? Or, you know, and it's not all the truth, you know? I believe that's rooted in pride as well. I believe that's a sense that, you know, we're trying to make others think more highly of ourselves. And deep down, all we really want is love, right? So check this out. Go to Proverbs 8. This is really good. What does the Bible say about pride. We already read one verse. Check this one. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, even behavior and perverse speech. That's in verse 13, Proverbs 8:13. Flip over a couple pages, you'll see in chapter 16, verse 18, the Bible says, pride goes before destruction or fall, a haughty spirit before a fall. God's word assures us pride is the root of the rubble in our lives. Now, if you want some old New Testament, check out 1 Corinthians 10:12. So if you don't fall, be careful that you... Sorry, I lost my my spot. Please forgive me. God's word assures us pride is the root of the rubble in our lives. 1 Corinthians 10:12 warns us, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's what I wanted to focus on. You know, a lot of us think we'll never fall or we're struggling with this, right? But the truth is we will, inevitably. One day we will, you know? Psalm describes the oppressive result of pride and a plea to God for justice and defense for those caught in this tailspin. Pride is at the heart of bullying and entitlement. Its deceptive tendency leaves us a wake of destruction. I believe pride is in the heart of Satan. He has had more experience with pride than any other person. I mean, think, he's been around for over 5,000 years. If you did something for 5,000 years, you'd probably be good at it too, right? So what's the answer? How can we... Well, first, I think before I give you the answer, we got to look at what causes pride, right? I mean, go back to Adam and Eve. The temptation. They believe they could be like God. Ever since people have an innate problem relinquishing control of life and circumstance into the capable hands of God, our Creator and Father, our sinful nature manifests itself in three ways: self-reliance, self-centeredness, and self-condemnation. You know, there's a giant difference between proud of someone else and having pride in yourself. I always say this is one of my favorite things to say. I'm so proud of you. And I believe that's the healthy pride. I believe that's the pride that God wants us to have. In God, we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. There are two basic types of pride in the Bible: legitimate and sinful. So those are the two I think you need to focus on, and you need to try to figure out which ones you're dealing with. And if it's the legitimate, I think you're okay. If it's the sinful, that's the one that you probably need to address. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. How do you deal with pride? Why is pride such an important issue in the Bible? According to 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, who do you boast as though you did not? Our sinful pride tempts us to be self-sufficient rather than God-reliant. If you are trusting in your own self, I believe that's where the issue is. I believe you need to take rest and focus on God. Rely on Him. Focus on Him. King David struggled with pride. Do you remember that? When he called for an unnecessary census of Israel's army, he seemed inclined to trust in a strong army rather than an all-powerful God. Think of King Uzziah. He presumed himself worthy of priestly duties and was cursed with leprosy in Chronicles. You know, the Bible is full of stories with people who struggle with pride. You know, we're no different, you know. We're still in this human flesh. We're still in the earth. So let me give you five quick ways that we as Christians can recognize pride in our lives. Number one, we got to pray. Got to pray. You got to ask God to remove it, or at least recognize it, and then remove it, right? And then here's a good one. Number two, read your Bible. Dig in His Word. Focus on what the Bible says about pride. Do what it says. That's number three. Look for connections. God faithfully connects His Word to our lives daily to prepare and sanctify our hearts. He places people purposely in our lives for that very reason. And lastly, repent and repeat. Healing pride by praying for humility is a strong thing. Humility is the antidote to pride. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. We actually talked about this a few weeks ago. Whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Faith takes focus. Keeping our hearts locked in focus on Christ is paramount to winning the war in pride. So folks, what are we going to do today to deal with our pride? How is today going to be different than any other day? How can we defeat this thing called pride? Let's do it together. We can do it together through His Word, through prayer, and through Him. Love you guys. See you next time here on The Charks. What's up, guys? And then you had a flag?